Ross Atkins is general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. We're very pleased that he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Ross, thanks so much for doing this. It was a, I was going to say a long night, early morning. I never know how you kind of square those two. The topic du jour in Toronto, among baseball fans, though, Roberto Osuna, his 10th blown save last night. Look, we've talked about it. I know the fans have talked about it on social media. Ross, what are you guys seeing right now with Roberto Osuna?
Yeah, you know, Roberto, it's such an interesting case because I think we, oftentimes as it's human nature to focus on the now, to focus on short sample sizes. And, you know, obviously Roberto's disappointed and he hasn't been as he's been over the last, two plus years. So if you look at the bulk of Roberto's work, he's one of the most dominant relievers in baseball. He hasn't been that over the last month. There are aspects of his performance that are certainly elite, the strikeouts, the lack of walks, the blown saves I don't want to chalk it up to this is just baseball, this happens, but there are a lot of his saves where if you peel back the layers a bit, there are things that certainly could have happened that he could have easily been out of those games. And, you know, he hasn't had necessarily the same dominance that he's had in the past, but at the same time, he's still an elite pitcher. And there are a lot of signs that give us confidence that he'll be back to the more dominant closer that he has been in the past.
Well, tell me, what are those signs, Ross, and what are you seeing? What's the difference between Roberto Osuna right now and Roberto Osuna at his most effective?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fastball command initially. Roberto's an interesting pitcher because he's not he's also young, right? You know, he's evolving, he's getting better. And, you know, the results are changing as he's getting better and as he's evolving. And when I say getting better, it means he's adjusting to the league. So there are spans of his career where he'll pitch predominantly with his fastball. There are spans when he'll pitch predominantly with his cutter. There's spans when he'll pitch predominantly with a bigger breaking ball. There's times he's using more of a changeup. So, you know, he has such a neat feel for all of his pitches that he's able to adjust. And I think with the evolution of any young pitcher, sometimes those adjustments are less than ideal, and sometimes they're very effective. But ultimately, if he has fastball command, he can do any and all of those things and adjust very quickly when it's not the best result in any given day. So, you know, it's a relatively simple answer to your question. It's obviously a complex situation, or we would have already had a solution. But if I have to answer the question with something specific, I think it's always going to come back to fastball command. I think if you saw, you know, some of the blown saves, I mean, some of them have been really, you know, when he's had a strikeout and the guy standing on first base, or a missed opportunity to keep a runner in at one base. And, you know, certain things happen, and that's why strikeouts are so key. If he does get strikeouts, he's taking things into his control. But when the balls are driven, they're usually fastballs over the middle of the plate, and they're not, you know, elevated enough, and they're hittable pitches, and that's unusual for him.
When you look at Roberto and you look at where the team is now, and you've got it's September 6th, so the 3 weeks left in the season. Is there anything to be said, Ross, for maybe, I'm not saying shutting the guy down, but I mean, I look at this three ways. One, you can keep running him out there and maybe he figures it out, or he continues to get hit. Two, you shut him down. Three, maybe you back him off a bit and put him into a different role in the seventh or eighth inning. Are there any thought to any of those options, or is this, you know, just basically, hey, this guy's got to figure out his fastball command and there's still 3 weeks left to do it?
The answer, the general answer to your question is no. You know, because of all the reasons that I've stated, the fastball velocity is there, the general aggressiveness, the mindset, his desire to be out there, our confidence that he will continue to be an elite performer, an elite closer. So the answer is no. We are not going to adjust his role. But do you think about and talk about how we can put him in the best position? Absolutely. And will there be the potential, will we discuss the potential of him maybe not going back-to-back on certain situations dependent upon where we are in the season? But, you know, really, the easiest way to think about that is he's our best option to close, and we're trying to win baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
Ross, earlier this season, Roberto was upfront about the fact that he was dealing with some anxiety issues. And I wonder, does that factor in to how you handle him at this stage and handle his role? Do you think that has been a factor in any way in his struggles the past month?
No, I don't. He's in a great place. And, you know, those issues, I think, you know, oftentimes, and certainly not lacking any empathy or sensitivity in and around a word as powerful as anxiety. But I also think that that things sometimes get not necessarily lost in translation, but when, you know, you don't have the ability to drill down into the specifics of exactly what's going on, and you just have the word anxiety to focus.
Oh, oops, I think we dropped the phone line. Travis working at it right away to get it back. That a boy, Travis. Ross Atkins is general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. And we were discussing Roberto Osuna and Steven's question about, you know, whether or not anxiety is his stated concern about level of anxiety, whether or not that may be having an impact on his performance here. And Ross Atkins pretty clear that they don't think, while expressing a certain amount of empathy, they don't think it's necessarily the issue here. And also very clear that his role is not going to change, although it sounds like we may not be seeing him on back-to-back, you know, coming out of the bullpen in back-to-back games, which is probably the best way of kind of splitting things right now.
Yeah, and again, I think, you know, this discussion, it's a little easier to have this discussion not with a contending situation.
Oh, God, yeah.
We would think this would be a little more heated and they would have a lot more edge to it if we were talking about a contending situation.
Absolutely. Let's bring Ross Atkins back. Ross, sorry about that. Sorry about the mix up there. You were talking about Steven's question regarding the anxiety issue. And one thing I think the other reasons we were talking about is that you look at Osuna's saves, 8 of his 10 blown saves have been on the road. His last 5 have been on the road. His home and road splits are substantial. Now, I know that you guys do a lot of drilling down into numbers to try to answer these questions. And I think maybe that people may have that idea that the anxiety may be contributing to those issues with the home road splits.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I do think that Roberto's still a very young pitcher, and there's a lot of good things about being a very young pitcher, and that's resiliency, physical, and how guys recover and bounce back. But then there's also to touch more on what I was talking about mm-hmm. before, on how he adjusts to the league and how he evolves and how the league adjusts to him. He'll find better routines. We are certainly working on that with him, and he'll find better plans of attack for all of the league as he gets more mature as a professional closer and as an elite closer. You know, having said that, the tools he has to do that with are so good and so elite that we have a ton of confidence that he's riding this ship.
Just change topic slightly here, Ross. You guys you're getting it's some interesting call-ups, and I assume there's some more to come. But among the guys you're getting a real good look at right now is Richard Urania. Not a guy we've talked about a ton, but has looked certainly very comfortable in the field. I wonder, number one, what you think he is or what he can be, but also, you know, how that factors into a larger discussion, especially about second base. You know, Devin Travis had the setback from his knee injury, and I guess we're not going to see him the rest of this year. And I guess the first part of this is, as we head towards 2018, how confident are you that Devin Travis, that you can kind of pencil in Devin Travis as your second baseman in 2018?
Okay, so to your first question on Richie and, you know, what we've seen and what we project, we're, you know, really encouraged, excited about how he's handled this performance. He didn't have a dominant year in Double A this year for us, and you know, we had an opportunity for him and felt like he was mentally and physically prepared for it. And because of his defense, he could come up here and do more than hold his own, because of his range, because of his athleticism, his aggressiveness. As you've seen since he's been here, he's been extremely confident. He played through balls with guys. He's understood the pace of the game. He's understood, you know, the speed of a Nunez, the speed of a Mookie Betts, and those clocks. And I think a lot of that is what we, you know, when we were talking about the decision for him to come, is a lot of that has been his exposure to playing in winter ball in the Dominican Republic, his exposure to Major League spring training, and the amount of playing time that he's gotten over the last couple of years. So we were confident that he would do more than hold his own. And what's been really encouraging, and that was defensively, is his approach at the plate. He's seen a lot of pitches. He's actually walked, I think, three times. He's had great at-bats right-handed and left-handed. He faced some dominant pitching last night when he did have the strikeouts. So the pitches that he swung and missed, I think most hitters would have swung and missed. But he also had some very good at-bats that were key. There was a couple of good defensive plays on him.
And how about second, yeah, Travis, yeah.
Yeah, to your second question on Devin, you know, so we're a better team if Devin Travis is playing every day second base for us. You know, we're going to give him that opportunity, and now we feel like we have better depth than we did a year ago. So, you know, that there's a lot of things about this year that have been disappointing. Obviously, where we are, where we sit today, and what our record is. But if you look, if you separate out the start of our year and the blown saves, we're a 500 team since April, and there's a lot of reason to be encouraged for next year. And if you know, I could take 5 minutes and go around the diamond. I'm sure you guys have done that and think about what our team looks like next year. And we'll obviously have to go into free agency a bit, but we could very well have a very, very good team. And we are confident that we will, but I think the most encouraging thing about next year and beyond is our depth. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to start to have a predominantly prospect team in AAA, a predominantly, prospect rotation potentially. So we haven't had that. We've had for the last 2 years had to go into minor league free agency for AAA pitching. And now we're going to have the potential of Ryan Borucki, Thomas Pannone. You know, who knows how we start the year, who else could be in that AAA rotation. And depending upon how Connor Green and Sean Reed Foley return back to next year, we could potentially be looking at a very good, very young, very projectable AAA team that provides depth. And that's when you start to think, okay, you know, we can sustain injuries, we can sustain setbacks, and we're going to have enough depth for 162 seasons.
Yeah, and I'm not, I understand what you're saying about depth and organizational depth, and absolutely, Ross. But I just one, you know, Travis has had, he's obviously had an awful luck. And, you know, some of it has been stuff that no one would have anticipated, like the shoulder thing that, you know, was congenital. And I hate to talk about guys being injury prone because it doesn't mean anything, you know, especially when you have injuries to different parts of your body. But in terms of his knee, and you know, this has been a long process now. Will his knee ever be kind of 100%? Will he when we're talking about him in February when the team reports next year? Will he be starting from zero, or is he going to be a guy where that knee is going to be an issue the rest of his career?
Well, you know, listen, the medical opinion of that is that once you start to have. He's not 100% of where he was 10 years ago. He's had a couple of knee procedures. So you don't just get back to absolutely 100%. And each one of them, takes away from the infrastructure and overall strength. So, you know, he's not starting at ground zero. Having said that, he's going to potentially play this year, and we'll see. That's day by day. And that will be more for him, well, two reasons. One, we're always going to try to put the best team on the field that we can within reason and never pushing someone unfairly. But secondarily, I think it would be extremely beneficial for him to have clarity that he's ready to go and to have a clean offseason with no rehab. My knee feels great. I can play in a Major League Baseball game, and I can just work on getting stronger. So will he be a guy that can play 162 games for us next year? You know, if you're just looking at the odds of that, the odds are certainly not 100% that that's going to happen. They're not 100 for anyone, but you know, they're low that he can play 162. Do we have confidence that it's possible? Certainly. He could certainly do that. I think we'll have to be smart about it, and we'll have to try to manage his playing time. And could he be a guy that plays 135, 140 for us? That would be awesome. And we're a better team if he does.
Ross, you talked a little bit about Roberto Osuna and how maybe one of the plans of attack here would be to limit the number of back-to-back appearances he makes. I'm wondering if maybe, sorry, for in the next 3 weeks, I'm wondering, does that possibly open up a scenario where Aaron Sanchez gets a little bit of time, you know, just to get a look at him, maybe an inning here, an inning there? Or are we at the point now with Aaron where it's you bring him into spring training next year and cross your fingers, horrible pun, but cross your fingers that, you know, everything is fine with the blisters?
Well, you know, I have to say, really, we'll see. And I don't think that's likely the way that you projected. I don't think that we would ask Aaron Sanchez to just come into a game in the ninth inning in a 3-2 game and say, here, you know, we know you haven't been pitching much this year, but go ahead and strike out these three hitters for us. So, you know, I think if he pitches again this year, we would put him into a more somewhat more controlled outing.
Okay.
And, you know, right now we're just focused on day by day, step by step, how he's feeling, how he's recovering, and then mutually determining is it best for him to get into a major league game.
Marco Estrada was terrific last night. He looks much like the old good Marco Estrada. It's kind of a funny year for him, obviously, but he approaches free agency. You've got several pieces of your rotation are kind of set for next year, Ross, if everything goes right. But has there been any conversation with Marco Estrada about continuing as a Blue Jay?
So, you know, again, you guys know I can't get into negotiations and discussions we're having with players.
I got to ask you anyway, though.
Yeah, but we would love to have him back here. He knows that. That's what I can tell you. He knows we would love to have him back here, and I think he would love to be here. It's just a matter of finding what makes sense for, like in any business decision, what makes sense for both parties. So he's been awesome for this city, for this organization. He's a everything we're looking for in a teammate. And, you know, I think what we unfortunately most likely won't see is how good he is in the playoffs and how good he is under the gun, under pressure. And that's where we plan on being. So he certainly fits well for us.
Before I let you run, Ross, I did want to ask you kind of a philosophical question here, not necessarily a long one, but about the call-ups. And I'm particularly interested, and I'm not second-guessing here, but I'm just interested in why Anthony Alford and Danny Jansen weren't brought up.
Definitely fair questions. We talk a lot about those guys. So there's three reasons you bring September call-ups, in our opinion. And it's so, one, first and foremost, to make your major league team better. Secondarily, to expose younger players to the environment, to the pace of the game, to Major League Baseball. And then lastly, and you know, whether these are the most important can be debated based on where you are in the season and where you are in the standings, not where you are in the season, where you are in the standings, is to protect some of your more veteran players that have been carrying the bulk of your workload. So that can be pitching, that can be guys that have just played every single day and you want to give them, you know, day games after night games off. So after you factor all of that in, you have to make sure that you also have playing time. So with the recall of Oscar Hernandez, we didn't see Anthony Alford getting a ton of playing time in and around Steve Pierce, Ezekiel Carrera, and obviously Kevin Pillar, Jose Bautista. So, you know, the left-handed pinch hitter and Michael Saunders made some sense for us. And when we bring a player, we want to make sure they're playing. And that's what it came down to for him. And very similar for Danny Jansen, but a little bit different in that his rise to AAA has been as steep as they come. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, you start to think about a rotation of Anderson and Biagini and Stroman and Happ, and those guys have been working very hard with these catchers all year, found a rhythm, and those guys have gotten comfortable with those pitchers. Then you factor in, okay, Estrada's been the guy that every time we've given the new catcher or the guy that hasn't had as much exposure. And so do we want to do that to him for the rest of the year? So when would Dave Jansen catch? And thinking about the, you know, what that means for other guys that are currently on our team, and then ultimately how steep his rise has been. But believe me, we spent a ton of time on those decisions. It wasn't something that we decided, like I just discussed, that it sounded like, oh, in 5 minutes it makes sense not to. We had a very extensive process to determine that ultimately this wasn't the right time, but we are extremely encouraged by those two individuals and think that they'll be integral to our success going forward.
Danny Jansen's really intriguing, and you also have, you know, you have other young catchers in the system as well, so it's actually a kind of a organizational position of strength, I would think, Ross. But, you know, he was offensively dominant at three different levels this year, but obviously learning how to catch and be a big league catcher, there's a whole other element to it that is different than any other defensive position. What do you think he is in 2018? Because, you know, 2017 was remarkable for this kid.
Yeah, it's a really good, interesting question and a great problem to have, because he's been so good, you want him on your major league team, someone who has been defensively better every day. Your point is right. It's more complex than just picking up the ball and throwing it where it needs to be thrown, because there's so much that you need to do in terms of preparation and being proactive, and so much leadership involved. And it's not the patting on the back, slapping on the tail type leadership I'm talking about. It's being prepared enough to be strong enough in your suggestions to a pitcher that give him confidence. And that takes time. You don't just wake up and do that, because he doesn't know this league. So what does it look like in 2018? That's a great debate. I would think the most likely scenario is that we like him to catch every day so he can continue to develop that leadership aspect of the game. And that means he's in AAA. You know, having said that, we feel good about what we've seen in Rafi Lopez and Luke Maley. And, you know, if there's a way for us to do better than that, we do feel good about some of the options we have. But, you know, a lot can happen in an off season. A lot can happen in spring training. And we are certainly glad to have that dilemma in front of us, because he has been one of the highlights of our year.
What about what he might learn sitting next to Russell Martin every day?
Yeah, that's massive and extremely important. And at some point that will be a part of his development. There's no question. The problem with that is that he's doing it sitting on a bench. He's not getting at bats, and he's not getting the reps.